President Obama faces so much political trouble that one of his critics contends he's actually worried. Indiana Governor Mitch Daniels says he is worried that Republicans might think the campaign is going to be easy and that they'll shy away from taking chances. Daniels decided not to run for the Republican nomination himself. President Bush's former budget director has written a book called Keeping the Republic. He is hoping the next president wins a mandate to make big changes in Medicare and Social Security.
I'm a little, ironically, a little troubled right now that if the president's situation doesn't improve, and I don't see why it would, given the trajectory of this economy, that our Republican nominee might just decide to play it safe and try to win by being the default option. And that might work tactically, but I think it would blow a huge opportunity. You know, Steve, I say in the early pages of this book that I only wrote it because I'm alarmed for the first time about the condition of our country and about its future. We're going to have to make big changes and make them soon. That very serious, painful consequences are certain if we don't, and they could be sudden as opposed to gradual.
You write that you want to make big changes in both Social Security and Medicare. I want to ask about one of them because it seems to be widely acknowledged across the aisle that Medicare costs an awful lot of money. It's going to cost more and more money as the years go on. But there's much more of a dispute about Social Security. Why do you think Social Security is a serious problem?
Well, it is unsustainable as it stands. The wisest course would be to say to today's retirees, nothing changes for you, but also to ask them to join in seeing that younger generations who are paying for their retirement today have some protection too.
I suppose we should mention, since Rick Perry, the presidential candidate, has been in trouble for calling Social Security a Ponzi scheme in recent weeks, we should note you got there first because you wrote this book some months ago, and on page 24 and 25 you actually say Carlo Ponzi, the guy for whom Ponzi schemes are named, would make an ideal Social Security commissioner. Why is that?
Well, first, I didn't get there first. This comparison has been used for decades. Paul Samuelson, the liberal Democratic economist, was using it in the late 60s, and I do think it's important in pointing out that Social Security is and always was a pay-as-you-go system. It never was, as many Americans were led to believe, an arrangement in which you invested in your own retirement. The money was always going right out the door to the retirees of the day.
But I want to just get a sense of the scale of the problem with Social Security. I read Charles Krauthammer, a conservative columnist, who wrote a very interesting column not many days ago in which he said, quote, "Of course it's a Ponzi scheme. So what? It's also the most vital, humane, and fixable of all social programs." He seemed to suggest that with relatively minor changes, not a complete reworking or abolition, you could put Social Security's numbers right because you have years to do it.
Yeah, bullseye. That's exactly my viewpoint. Underline fixable in that sentence. We are talking about the right issues now. Very different from when I outlined this book 21 months ago. There's been a Tea Party movement that raised the consciousness of millions of Americans. There's been a Bowles-Simpson Commission. The president ignored it, but not everybody else has.
But even, I mean, I read your book here, and I'm looking at this chart on page 25, and you do a chart. It projects health care outlays and Social Security outlays over decades to come. Health care, and I presume that has to do with Medicare, Medicaid, and related programs, they start out big as a percentage of GDP and get huge. They get immense. They get utterly unsustainable over time. Social Security, and this is your own chart, remains relatively flat over time. And of course, there is a trust fund to get Social Security through the next couple of decades. Is it really the thing we need to focus on right now?
Well, it's one of them. You say a trust fund. There's nothing there, Steve, as more and more people realize. There's nothing there but what can be viewed as preferred credit.
Extra money's been invested and put into bonds. That's what you're basically.
Yeah, they're just IOUs in there. There are no real assets, and the system was always set up that way. But change is going to come to these programs because they're going to go tilt. Now, we can either wait and have a train wreck and possibly some very unfair changes, or we can try to make changes now that are more gradual, thoughtful, and humane.
Do you plan to endorse somebody in the presidential race?
I don't know. I'm not sure who'd care what I thought anyway, but
what do you mean people wouldn't care what you thought? You know, it'd be a headline. Noted author Mitch Daniels endorses blank.
Yeah, well, a starved news cycle might run at once.
Didn't you meet with Chris Christie, the New Jersey governor, recently?
I did. We did a little duet at Rider University for a political institute there and talked about the themes of this book.
Did you discuss whether he should run?
No, I was careful not to press him about it. I think the world of him. I hope and believe we'll see him on the national stage. But, you know, I certainly will respect his decision if he decides that it's not the time.
I'm sure that the likes of Mitt Romney or Rick Perry have picked up the phone, called you, come to meet you at some point recently.
Well, I've heard from them. And,
have they asked for your endorsement?
Oh, I guess you'd say they've suggested I'd be welcome to help out, but nobody's tried any high-pressure tactics yet.
Mitch Daniels is the governor of Indiana and the author of the new book, Keeping the Republic. Thanks very much, Governor.
I appreciate it, Steve.